Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and we have a very special guest today. Randy Roberts is a photographer in the Pacific Northwest who has been at this game a very long time and is considered by many to be one of the top in the field. And Randy is going to talk to us about sort of the advanced institute on getting a great show win photo of your dog. And we know this is something that everybody wants to know about. So Randy, welcome.
Good morning, Laura.
So give us the 411, babe. How long you been at this?
I grew up in it. My grandparents started in the 30s and had three different breeds that they bred and showed. My grandmother did all the showing up until the late 70s, early 80s.
And what were their breeds?
English Cockers, Miniature Poodles, and Lhasa Apso's. So a lot of grooming, as you would see. My dad started the dog show photography in the Northwest in 1946, just after World War II. Basically, then I grew up in both the breeding end, the photography end. And then in the 70s, we became superintendents. So I've done a lot of different things.
You've been on all sides of the sport.
I have.
You have. And you bring a fabulous eye to what you're doing. And I think that's important for our listeners.
Thank you. I contribute that a lot to my grandparents because I'd stay up there all summer and at the kennel, and my grandparents would teach me about dogs.
Which is important.
Yes.
That's your first mentors then.
Absolutely. I started taking dog show pictures at age 15. I did my first all breed show. I couldn't drive, so they flew me to the show.
That is hysterical. And so let's get into it. We've done sort of an earlier episode on sort of basic how to get a picture of your dog.
Yes.
All right. So now let's talk about positioning your dog for the photographer.
That is so important. When you come up and bring your dog up there, what I see a lot is somebody just starting to stack their dog without looking at their dog first and seeing where the photographer is located. A lot of times we can move around a little bit, but sometimes it's very close quarters. And unless we are given that angle, and all dogs need the proper angle to get the great shot, we're trying to move and get that. If you are looking at where the photographer is located, you can start right away. That's your first presentation, is looking to see where the photographer is so I can position my dog for the photographer.
And where the camera is looking.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so now we're going to talk about knowing your dog. And we talked about this in a lot of episodes, right? Mm-hmm. You have to know what's good and bad about your dog in order to show it to its best advantage. And that goes to the same thing for photography.
Yes. Yes. We have to look at it also. If we see something, maybe the top line is sagging a little bit on a giant breed, which is common. I mean, the dog is tired maybe. Maybe it's hot out. Something like that. We need to get to look at that dog and position that dog. So when we're talking about knowing your dog is knowing what angles. No, it's just like people. No one photographs the same. So you can have the same breed and have two different angles on that same breed and bring out the qualities in that dog. Know your dog and what's the best angle for your dog.
Okay, let's do some role playing here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring you a dog that has a really, really beautiful head, but it's a little bit long-backed for its breed.
I want to shorten that dog just a little bit. So we want a slight angle. We want to get, by getting an angle on the dog, bringing the front toward us a little bit. Towards the camera. Whether you're taking either A, the front towards me, or the rear towards you, the handler, that's how you shorten the dog up. Vice versa, if the dog is short, we want to profile the dog.
Hard profile.
Lengthen the dog out. Know your dog.
Right. Absolutely. And another, we'll do another case study. I show you a breed like the one that I'm showing right now with Spinoni, where we don't want to have the ears raised to get the proper expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How are we going to work that?
Well, first of all, a photographer should have read all the standards, I believe, and know these breeds. Know whether you're going to have a high set, low set, where the tail set is on the dog, whether there should be a rise in length, what the dog is really supposed to look like. Photographers should know that in this business. Not all do, but I believe they should.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, you're going to make the picture. You got to know what the picture is.
Yes. And so, consequently, you bring me that Spumoni, and I'm looking at it, and I know it has to be, I know I need a profile on that head. Consequently, but I don't need to throw anything, but I need the attention a certain way. Whether I have some help, whether I can motion for you to bring the head either towards me, because you're operating that head, and it's
just like a steering wheel. It's amazing.
It is. When you are driving a car, you're on a corner, you don't just jerk it, you slowly work it. That's how you do these things. I see this all the time. I ask somebody to move a leg or something like this, and they move it 5 inches. Maybe we only needed it a quarter inch, an inch. These should be subtle movements.
Well, and talk to, and this comes from your background in showing dogs and breeding dogs and all the rest of it, the hands on the dog, your hands as the handler, and you are gently shifting the dog's weight in order to move a foot in a particular direction rather than yanking the leg 2 inches off the ground.
Yes.
It's a gentle shift of the dog's weight, and if you can do that. So talk to us about how that affects you as a photographer.
When I see, a lot of times I will have the front maybe offset just a little bit, depending on the breed, just so you can see some depth. What I see a lot of times when a handler moves a foot, the dog is bearing weight on one side. I'll make a comment. Move the shoulder. Shove the shoulder a little bit. Well, unfortunately, newbies will shove the shoulder and the dog moves. It's, again, very subtle, so the dog settles into the stack, but not bearing weight on just one side, 1 foot more than the other. I see this constantly.
And this is something that takes all of our basic handling techniques that we've talked about and applies them to a 30-second time span that you have to get this photograph.
It's a very short time.
Right?
Very, very short.
So let's talk about timeliness. You've got a judge that's got maybe 3 minutes before their next assignment's supposed to start,
mm-hmm.
and a line out the ring.
Mm-hmm.
How do we handle that? What's our best process here?
Well, being aware of the judge. If the judge does say something, hey, I only have 3 minutes and there's 5 dogs waiting, that really well means that we have less than a minute per dog. So if the handler is aware of the constraints on the judge, you all want to say about the qualities of your dog. Just talk the dog up, but limit it. Look and talk while you're setting the dog up. Don't be talking and then come in later to set the dog up. Be aware of the constraints, and as you're setting it up, be aware of the photographer, because the photographer's ready. The photographer should be ready to take that picture so we can do it on a timely time frame once the shot is done. And normally photographers should take 2, maybe 3 shots. That's what you're given. And then start packing. Get the leash back on the dog if you've taken it off. Start moving. You can still be talking, but moving so the next person can, and moving forward so the next person is coming in from the rear. Don't turn around and head out the back, because on a podium, guess what? You're in the way again and you're slowing everything down.
And we have commentary from the audience. That's
yes.
A bad idea. That was so perfectly timed, Judy.
Yeah.
Okay, so awareness, consideration of the judge, of your fellow exhibitors, those
mm-hmm.
sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
It is very important to be that. And I would say at least 60-70% are. There are the few that don't have that consideration, and it's wasting our time, the judge's time. We can't get all the pictures because they aren't there just to stand there. They want a quality picture of their dog. And if you don't give them that, you won't give the photographer time, you don't give the judge time, you don't give the dog time. Come on, be considerate.
Right. Absolutely. And that's something that we need to talk about just a little bit. Photographers, depending on the show, the size of the show, the photographer, etc., there may only be one photographer to cover 6 rings.
Yes.
That's a lot of running around. So
mm-hmm.
consideration for your photographer.
Yes, whether the photographer has time. Basically, photographers, on an easy basis, up to 1,000 dogs, you just need one, unless it's spread out. How is the show spread out? If you're aware of your photographer is busy on the hour time frame, the judges are given that time frame and they're scheduled on the hour, well, all of a sudden, four rings go off at the same time. Okay, see that there's another ring waiting and presenting your dog, getting it ready quickly. Yep. So that someone else can also get their quality photo.
Absolutely. Okay, so next topic, what the photographer sees, what you see, what the camera sees is very different than what I see as a handler.
Yes.
Why is that?
The photographer is at the camera. Let's just put it that way. The camera is at a lower angle. When you're stacking a dog, when the dog is being stacked, you're looking down at the dog. You might not see, certain, you don't see if it's coated breed and some things need, the hair needs to be brushed properly or a foot is a hair out of place. You're looking down. The photographer is like the judge out there. They're looking from a spot and it isn't standing up. It's low. It's at shoulder level. Whether it's a table breed, a ground breed, a ramp breed, that camera should be at that shoulder level. So you need to think that the photographer is looking at that level. You can't see it. So I suggest, as handlers, have that dog stacked by your assistant, go out in front, do not stand up, get down, where the camera, where that lens is, and take a look at your dog. You
practice
can see
that.
Some,
practice
you,
that.
Practice where the camera is going to be. It's the same thing you do. The judge isn't going to get down. They stand up and look at the dog, right? The camera is at a total different angle than anything else we're doing out there with the dogs. So get down where the shoulder is. Take a look at the dog, every dog, and see what the camera is seeing.
Nice. And so you as the photographer will see things through the lens that we can't see. So when you say move this foot, there's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that. It might be just a simple matter of depth. It might on a dog. Let's say we're doing a Doberman and it's a profile, okay? I want, you know, many times on a Doberman, you basically do not want to see that inside front foot or just barely, and it's too much. We're having you move it just slightly. There are so many little things that I try to get the handler to do since they're depending on me,
right,
to get that proper look of the dog. It's as simple as how the shoulders are laid back. Maybe the dog, again, could be, at the end of the day, the dog's a little tired. I need that dog to come up a little bit. Instead of saying to a handler, they bring the dog up. I mean, what does that mean? But I like to motion. Most of the handlers I work with in the Northwest realize I give a lot of hand motions. I don't need to say things about your dog. I don't want to say things about your dog, other than maybe moving a front forward or back, rear forward or back. But I need you to lift the head up. I need you to bring that body up with the head so the dog isn't slouching anymore. Now, if I motion that, the handler can see that, bring, work that dog up. We are getting such a better shot than something like that. Or on a giant breed, tapping under the belly, bring that belly up so we get a nice top line. That is so important on a lot of breeds, and they're just tired. They're just running on the ring. They need to be just motioned a little bit.
Right.
And the picture, and when we talk about that, it's subtleties. It's not moving. It's the same thing as moving a foot. It isn't
right.
5 inches. It's a half an inch.
Right.
It might only take a little bit on that top line, a little bit of pulling up.
Posture is important in people and in dogs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay, and you were talking earlier, we were talking about the head and the body and how that lays into the shoulders. We were just talking about that. And can you talk a little bit about how an exhibitor is going to give that dog, when you talk about that lift, tell us what you're talking about for people that aren't aware.
Like, just like a person slouching, you can see them slouch in a chair and you can see them sit up with their shoulders back. It's no different than a dog. A lot of times baiting will help that, whether it's a toy, whether it's bait, and how to bait. What I see a lot is people think they know how to bait. They truly don't know how to bait. They think that baiting is feeding the dog. Baiting is not just feeding a dog. It's making the dog reach, making the dog come up. Also, if you pay attention, if you hold the bait or the toy up high, make the dog reach up instead of down. The head comes back, the shoulders go back, okay? It's no different than a human looking down. You bring the head up. Bring the head up, then you can bring the bait down. The shoulders are in the right spot, and you get the arch and neck that you want out of that. If you start low, all you're doing is bringing the dog a little bit forward in the same posture. The posture has to come up, shoulders back.
Very good. And then a couple for our last questions. First, we're going to do a photographer pet peeves. But I also, before we get to that, I really would like to do one on dogs who are terrified of the camera. Yes. They think that the camera is going to steal their soul. And I've had more than one of those. So let's talk about how do you deal with that. This is definitely an advanced topic.
It is. Dogs that are let's say, shy, skittish, afraid of the camera. They see that lens. It's an eye looking at them.
Right. First of all, why does it hit the dog that way, do you think?
Because the object, the cameras themselves, it's a big piece of glass. And if you stand in front of a camera, especially a professional level camera, and you are at that level and you look into it, you can actually see light through that lens. And so it's a different look that people don't realize. The dog can see that.
Right.
It's at their level. Again, the camera is at the shoulder at that level of the dog. It isn't where the handler is.
Maybe.
You're not looking down there, you're up above. So when we get a shy dog, it's relaxing the dog. How do you get that dog to relax and get it to pay attention to what's going on? Again, a toy, a bait, a person that it knows. A lot of times I'll ask if the dogs are, is there anybody out front that the dog knows, that can talk to the dog, that the dog can key on, can pay attention to.
Pay attention to something other than the camera.
Right, without me making a noise. Because a lot of times if I'm a sporting breed and I'm having to throw the toy, that dog might back off. It's going to rattle.
Or it's going to go forward. So
or it's going to launch.
Right.
And same thing.
Right. Okay. So have you had success over the years working with individual dogs that you can kind of work them through that?
I will suggest at times a lot of the handlers, again, in the Northwest, who I know very well, very personally, will sit at group time when there's no one around on an average size show and come up to the podium. Let's just set the camera there. You know, we don't actually have to take pictures.
Right.
We just need to pretend like you should at home practicing. But the show, we're at the real deal. Now's the real deal. The camera's real. You're dressed real. The dog's been groomed real.
And your nerves.
And the nerves are there.
I think that's a big...
It's a huge deal. I love it when somebody comes up and they're brand new. I had one yesterday. I did the Cardigan Corgis yesterday. And someone said, this is the first time I've ever won. What do I do, Randy? And I said, that's great. Thank you for telling me. That is awesome. I said, the first thing I want you to do is take a deep breath and relax. Just relax, okay? And listen to me when you're up there. Go everything slow. If I see you getting a little nervous, we're going to stop. Because that transfers down the lead. Soon as you get nervous, the dog is going to get nervous, especially new. A newbie is going to do that right away.
The dogs feel the tension and everything just goes crazy.
It does. And you lose the whole shot. Everything's gone.
All right. Okay, photographer pet peeves.
Photographer,
don't do this, whatever this is.
What I don't like, I have no problem somebody looking behind my camera with me, looking at the shot. In fact, I encourage it. Come on, let's see what we see. Let's get the right shot. I want the shot you want. My biggest pet peeve is someone saying that wasn't a good shot and they are 20 feet away to the side. They have no idea what we are doing there. What we see, what we're dealing with, if you want to comment on a photo, you stand right where we are and do it. Do not comment on it if you aren't at that shot, because you do not see what we see at all. That is my biggest pet peeve.
And you have, I think you might have, at least that I'm aware of, started the concept of offering online photos.
One of the first, I would say. Absolutely.
In the country.
Yes.
And has that helped? Do you think with your exhibitors that want to see a photo but don't necessarily want to purchase it if it isn't exactly what they wanted? Or how has that worked out for you?
I think when you started it, we had trained for everybody for 50 years. You get 2 8x10s in the mail.
Right, exactly.
And that was a culture. Yeah. I think the hardest thing in any type of business is change a culture. That is just hard to do. I had this in place 5-7 years ago. I didn't think we were ready for it yet. I'd ask people, do you want a JPEG? And they'd look at me with this dumbfounded look, a what? A digital image. I think now we're at that point where everybody is, I won't say everybody, 99% are computer literate. I think that is where we need to go. The digital image is where all magazine ads are derived from. When somebody wants to print it themselves, I don't, that's fine. You get my image. You're buying my image. If you want me to print it, great. I'm happy to do that. But yes, I think nowadays the website is exactly where it needs to go. Yes, we can't do a perfect shot every time. It might have been a hard dog. We might have got a tongue out. Let's say a dog just looked right at the wrong. You missed it.
Can I show you the picture?
Right, there it is. I don't need to spend my money in the photo mailer, the postage, the paper,
the print paper.
Get it out and then go, and you don't like it. And then sending it back or whatever. There it is. If you still want it, great. That's not a problem. But if you don't, I'm fine with it. I haven't wasted all this money. It's fantastic. And again, here in the Northwest, I believe we lead a lot of this, and everybody's on board. Everybody's on board.
Yeah. And there are great photographers around the country.
There are. Absolutely.
Kim Booth and a lot of people
very
that
good.
Are really outstanding. But I think we are blessed with your services.
You're too kind. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Any parting words you would like to leave for our guests that are listening today who are just about ready to go throw their dog up on a ramp and fight with it?
Smile. This is a great time. When you come see me, when people come into a dog show, people say, I hope to see you today, Randy. The reason you see me is you just won. Smile. Have a great time.
That is awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, listeners. Thank you, Allison Foley from Leading Edge Dog Show Academy, for coming and sharing with us one of your secret tricks of the trade. I love this. So welcome.
Thanks, Laura. I'm happy to be here on Pure Dog Talk again. So today I'm going to talk about when you're handling your dog. And I'm going to talk about something that it was the very first handler I ever really worked for. It was something she always did, and I get asked about it every single day that I do it at a dog show. And it's called the wet towel, and it's pretty low tech. It's a towel that's soaking wet and then wrung out. So the most immediate reason that I use a wet towel is probably obvious to some people, and that is just like when you lick your fingers to count your stacks of money. So you lick your finger so you have that moisture on your finger and you have traction on the money. The water from the towel is going to soak into the pads of your dog's feet, and it is going to give your dog traction when it goes around the ring. So I prefer this to products, you know, the non-slip or no-slip products.
Tacky paw.
I find those products, yes, they're tacky, and yes, they do work, but they tend to work for one go-round in the ring. Because after that, they've picked up the chalk, the dust, the dog hair that's in the ring. So then your dog's feet are coated with gunk. Then it no longer works. Plus, you're putting something on your dog's feet that is perhaps a barrier, and that's how our dogs sweat and perspire. So that's the reason I don't like those kinds of things. I even use my wet towel at outdoor dog shows because, as you know, the grass can get quite dry, and even the track gets flattened and dried out from the dogs running in that circle or being stacked on it over and over again. And it does also help cool your dog down on a hot day. I mean, that's not why I use it, but it is a side benefit.
And that's a great benefit, I think, for a lot of those hot outdoor shows. That cooling element, I think, is very useful.
Right. It's definitely helpful, for sure. So those are all the maybe physical or mechanical things that I use the wet towel for. But to me, the more interesting reason why I use a wet towel is this. I use it because when you or I or anyone is showing their dog, we know when we are in the ring next, right? So yeah. We know that our ring time is 8:00, or we're going to go in the ring after reserve winner's bitch is finished being judged. So we can mentally prepare ourselves for that happening. So our dogs might not be wearing their watches. They might not be reading the judging schedule, and they might not know when they are about to go into the ring. So I find with my dogs, especially ones that, you know, I'm specialing or I have to show quite a few shows in a row, once they go on the wet towel, that usually happens 5 to 10 minutes before they go into the ring because I'm at ringside, that gives them a trigger of, I go on the wet towel, and then soon after this, I'm in the ring. It helps mentally prepare your dog. It's like a Pavlovian effect of getting your dog mentally prepared to go in the ring. So the other thing I like about it is a lot of times if I have a wet towel at ringside, I find it funny because there'll be a huge crowd of people and everybody will be standing around my wet towel. And I'm like, oh, sorry. But that is good because then maybe they're not stepping on your dog. It's kind of like your dog's private space. It's like the green room when you go on the Ellen DeGeneres show, right?
Yes.
It's like where your dog can go, mentally prepare, be alone. And it also tells me, if I'm chatting with somebody or trying to catch up with a friend I haven't seen in a long time, or God forbid, gossiping.
Never.
Never. Once I get my dog on the wet towel, that time is over. It's no longer me time. It's show dog time, which means I have to do the things that help that dog get mentally prepared in the ring. So the wet towel is the cue. It helps your dog by helping it not slip as it goes around maybe on a slippery surface. It helps cool it down. It helps the dog to mentally prepare in the ring, and even as importantly is that it helps you help your dog be mentally prepared to go in the ring.
I love it. I'm buying a whole bunch of green towels. It's our green room. It's fabulous.
I think that's a great idea.
I love it. Thank you, Allison. We'll talk to you more soon. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.